In India, a woman is raped every 22 minutes, and the latest shocking event happened just 2 weeks ago when two girls were raped by a group of men, then killed and hanged afterwards. The Indian government's responded by passing tough new laws which punish sexual assault, but it doesn't seem to be enough to stop the attacks. Indian women's activist Kavita Krishnan is doing a national speaking tour of Australia to raise awareness of the situation. She came into the Wire studios and spoke to Francesca Timmer.
The real question is, I think, the societies in which we live, and we have to examine the ways in which we teach entitlement and power to men. What are the ways in which patriarchal society works, and really the roots of violence lie there. Perhaps every man who enjoys that entitlement or enjoys that power may not become violent. But the point is that that entitlement does teach various forms of dominance, coercion and violence. And I think we need to begin dismantling it right there rather than only expect punitive measures to have effect.
Do you think the situation of women is likely to change under the recently elected Narendra Modi government?
I'm known to be a critic of the Narendra Modi government and its politics. And I think that we in the women's movement have reason, and women in India have some reason to feel somewhat apprehensive about, what this government's politics is going to be towards women. Of course, we should wait and watch and see. But one thing is that there are several Hindu majoritarian groups who have this agenda. It's part of their understanding as well as their regular practice to actually organize violence against women's freedoms, to impose dress codes on women or behavioral codes on women or oppose Valentine's Day and so on. And these groups are very much part of the same larger family, the Sangh Parivar, the RSS, which is a group, a Hindu majoritarian group inspired by Hitler and Mussolini, to which Narendra Modi himself belongs. And these groups are all part of that same larger family. Now, how will this government behave towards those groups? Will it at all rein them in, or will they feel empowered by this, is one question. The other question is that Narendra Modi himself, when he was Chief Minister of Gujarat, has very serious charges against him. They're not criminal charges, but there is evidence, which he has not denied and his party has affirmed, that he ordered his police force and the state's anti-terrorist squad to conduct illegal surveillance on a young woman amounting to stalking for weeks on end. And what is worrying is that his party has not denied it. He hasn't denied it. And his party has instead offered the explanation that it's all right to have broken the law and to have conducted illegal surveillance because her father asked for it for her protection. And, in the movement last year against violence, one of the things that women were saying loud and clear was, don't take away our freedoms in the name of protecting us. And this is even more absurd, actually, because it's clearly an instance of stalking and it's being justified as being something for her protection. So I think that these are all causes for great concern, and we are very alert towards the dangers that lie ahead.
That leads me directly to my next question, because you wrote in an article for the Hindu Center one month ago that politicians invoke women's safety as a pretext to justify communal encased violence.
Yes.
That is obviously very controversial. So what do you think? How can safety and violence go hand in hand?
They absolutely cannot. You should hear the word safety, but you should understand that it's coded language. They're not talking about safety at all. They're actually talking about curbing the women's right to choose who they may want to be in a relationship with or want to be friends with. And it's really ironic that these slogans of safety used to instigate violence were made by BJP leaders of the ruling party, on the platform of the same caste bodies which actually do honour killings in India against intercaste marriage couples. And Narendra Modi recently, I've noticed that he's said we shouldn't politicise rape. But the point is that his own right-hand man, Amit Shah, who made speeches during the election saying the Muslim community is a community of rapists that rapes our mothers and sisters, so vote for us in order to curb them. So I think that this kind of language is actually does great damage to women's freedom and autonomy and women's liberation. And we should also remember that the kind of violence against minorities actually involved a lot of sexual violence against Muslim women as well. And Narendra Modi and his party are actually have blessed this violence and have benefited from it. So I think that these are very worrying signs, yes.
At the moment, you are touring Australia. So what's your message to Australian people?
My message would be that, you know, when we talk about violence in India or women's rights in India, to not see it as being something that happens out there, these problems of women, but actually to look around, you know, to maybe see what can be learned from the women's movement in India, just as we can see what we can learn from movements here. And possibly to look around what is happening in Australia now. For instance, I saw that there's been several instances of sexual violence in Australia's Defence Academy, which have been, you know, swept under the carpet or not dealt with as needed. What can Australian citizens do about that? What can they do about maybe their government's economic policies or even their army, which may be implicated in violence or other forms of, you know, against people in other parts of the world? Perhaps these are things which Australian people need to think about, just as we in India need to think about how our society and our governments and our institutions might be implicated in perpetuating violence and perpetuating discrimination.
Kavita Krishnan, she's an Indian women's activist and member of the Communist Party of India. She was speaking with The Wire's Francisca Timmer. And Kavita will be speaking at the University of Adelaide tonight, and then she heads off to Perth on Saturday as part of a Around Australia tour.